I love when Cliff's Elbow Room is back in the mix. Main Road, Jamesport, locally known as the best restaurant around when it comes to savory steak. Second to none. That's right. New York Shell Steak. You got to try Porterhouse Filet Mignon Petit Filet. And also an incredible Cliff's Steakhouse Sandwich. You got to try. The statue of the North Fork for decades, talking about the great Cliff's Elbow Room. Rob DePiro, the East End Report. Robert, how are you?
Jay, good morning. How are you doing? Boy, as a listener and hearing Joe Jackalone before the follow-up segments about the trial in Suffolk County, you compared it to, I guess, the Irishman, am I correct?
Russell Buffalino and Frank Sheeran at
well,
the
just,
helm
just
in
listening
Central
on my end, I just from listening, of course, I would compare it to the movie Witness. All you needed is a little Amish boy hiding out with Harrison Ford trying to protect him from other members of his department.
For movies with Kelly McGillis. Well done, sir. On that correlation, you're exactly right, because, you know, it's all about intimidation here. That's what it is. It's about intimidation. And you're kind of getting a sense, as we make references to cinema, of real-life situations that have been going on here. Sad to say, this is what has happened to our society from a corruptive sense, Rob. And it's just come to fruition here.
Yeah, there's nothing more to add to that. On the other hand, we have our really, it's incredible that two trials are going on at the same time with, you could say, hard to believe situations going on with both. And we're going to talk about the Thomas Murphy trial. I was there yesterday. You could pretty much count on four of these charges being dropped on Monday. The give and take between Brendan Ahern, who is the with the district attorney's office, he's the chief of vehicular crimes bureau, and Judge Fernando Camacho, pretty much shooting down any argument that Brendan Ahern had for allowing the testimony from Dr. Michael Lerner into evidence, really not just because of his testimony, but we know about the notes that Dr. Lerner failed to hand over to the defense. At the defense has been maintaining all along that Murphy was not intoxicated. He doesn't rise to that threshold. And when it comes out that there is quite a bit of a margin of error in Dr. Lerner's findings, you could see that Judge Camacho very, very, very unhappy with where this is going. He's making a ruling on Monday. He told Mr. Ahern, how can I expect the jury to think that they know more than what the evidence is? So if there's a margin of error, I can't have the jury go, well, we know more than what science is. It was not a good day for the prosecution in court yesterday. Camacho saying, how can I permit this jury that they know more? He was pretty much saying, I wish it never was in evidence. And now Camacho says, now I have to deal with it.
Here's what's troubling to me, okay? What's troubling to me is, you know, you go back to the old days with Glenn Kurzrock, part of that whole office of the DA, and misconduct, mm-hmm. prosecutorial misconduct and everything else. What has happened to the checks and balances, for crying out loud, within a district attorney's system here? I mean, the fact of the matter is, it seems to me that this is prosecution 101, not being delivered properly. Exchange of information not being done properly. Thus, the caveat involved now of the dropping in all likelihood of four charges here. Who takes the hit for that one, Rob?
Well, as you know, you have stated, the top charge remains. All right. So you could almost look at it like, well, what's the issue? If the top charge remains and the 8 3/25 still stands, this is kind of all right. It's an error, but you know, we'll get past it. The problem is now, you never want the jury to think something is amiss, and all you need is one juror who realized. Well, they realize now that they were told by Judge Camacho for, you know, dismiss the testimony. You never want the juror to start, one juror to start wondering, well, what's going on here?
That seems to be.
What looked like an open and shut case from the very beginning has quite a big of a little, quite a big of a gap to fill in at this point. And now, yesterday's testimony, very emotional. The dad of Andrew McMorris, John McMorris, who was an assistant scoutmaster that day, he testified yesterday. And you did have more than one juror wiping tears away from their eyes. You had Mr. McMorris pretty much, you know, crying on the stand. You had the jury's reaction. So at least for yesterday, on that angle, the ball goes back to the prosecutor's court. Now, on Monday, I would expect four of those charges to be dropped, just based on Camacho batting down anything Ahern came up with. I mean, at one point, Camacho asked him, "What is the swing, you know, margin of error?" And Ahern couldn't answer it, and it was absurd. Politi actually answered it.
I want to get to some audio here. Okay, you did some good things in the court. Amanda, give me the Stephen Politi situation regarding how heavy his client is. We know he's at least 350 pounds. And what the assertion is by Politi is, you know, with all the alcohol he supposedly drank in his testimony, how could he register the way he did at 0.13? Go ahead.
My position is that my client sample never would register a 0.13, and all the other evidence in the case supports this. My client simply could not have consumed enough alcohol at 350 pounds to ever get to a 0.13.
So it's inaccurate, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Inaccurate, really? You're telling me if this guy got on the Swan Lake golf course at 9 o'clock to tee off at hole one, and he's drinking vodka cranberries or whatever the heck he was drinking, through 18 holes, and then he leaves the course, gets in his car. Really? I don't care if you're 550 pounds. You're telling me, you're a lawyer, okay? You're telling me this guy could not be inebriated? On what basis? Is that an opinion? Is that an opinion? That's where I have a difference here with Stephen Politi.
Well, what you're going to basically have to sift through here, Jay, is what looks to be 95% apparent what happened that day versus what is presented in the courtroom. Don't forget, the jury has to see, they have to make their verdict based on everything they see in the courtroom. And that's where it becomes a little bit dicey. Like I said, you could have 95% figuring out what happened in the actual scenario of what occurred that day. I don't know how that factors into what the jury sees as to what they're seeing right now in the courtroom.
All right, let's go over. We got another clip from Politi. This was on the reference of Dr. Lehr and the type of formulation used to calibrate one's blood alcohol content. Round two, Politi. Go ahead.
Steve, go ahead. My argument with regard to retrograde extrapolation is that the experts in the field have called it unreliable. Unless you're aware of all the variables and you have multiple samples to test to determine what is the elimination rate and what is the absorption rate. It's junk science unless you know everything, which they don't.
Thank you very much.
And listen, I might go along with, because You know, that is up for sheer, you know, as far as one's own tabulation of this mechanism used. Listen, you want to tell me at the point of the crash, 0.19, he refused the breathalyzer. 4 hours later, he registered 0.13 over the 0.08, okay? So I don't want to hear it. That's registered 0.13 of a 0.18. You want to throw out the 0.19, the four charges, okay, fine. If that's what Camacho's going to do, you still have 12 counts against Murphy here.
Yeah, I mean, again, that we pretty much know the whole situation. It's just a matter of you never want to put any doubt into any situation that should not have occurred. And I think that's where Judge Camacho is so frustrated. He's pretty much saying this evidence, he said it straight up. He says this should never have been submitted. It tilts something in a direction that the prosecutor didn't really benefit from. And it was submitted by the prosecutor.
Because I's were not dotted and T's were not crossed. That's why Camacho is very upset. And the other thing he's upset about is from the testimony of John McMorris. I mean, come on, gut-wrenching as could be. We actually have tape of the wife, Elisa McMorris. Amanda, hit that one for me. Elisa McMorris yesterday after.
This is horrific. When we started this, we were told that we were going to be spared this multiple times in statements. This is actually the first time I've heard my husband talk about the whole thing. He hasn't been able to talk about it. This is the first time I've heard his whole story. And it's heartbreaking to make him go through that. At home, we're not able to talk. And hopefully when this is over, we'll be able to heal and deal with it and talk about it.
What were you struck most about in his testimony that you didn't know? Did you know this?
All right. Listen, if you're a human being, if you have a pulse, to have this family being dragged through the mud three times, folks, okay? Remember, Murphy was offered a situation predetermined before trial to take his sentencing. He wanted to go through the trial. Reneged. You have the trial itself, and you have the husband on the stand, okay? This is what's going on here. And whatever happens, I mean, you know, Fernando Camacho is going to have a tough weekend. He's going to have a very tough weekend because he knows deep down. He feels it. He knows it, okay? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows what's going on here. But the bottom line is, you know, you have to go through protocol. You have to go through the procedure. And let's keep in mind that Politi is doing his job, okay? He's doing his job for the sake of the system, for the sake of justice, for the sake that this never happens again, okay? For the sake that people are doing their jobs the right way, handing over the necessary information so that nothing will come into question. You hope it lays groundwork even more so for cases in the future that this never happens again, that justice will be served in the right type of way. That's what you hope for out of this. If you're Fernando Camacho, it's not going to be easy until Monday morning, I'll tell you that much. Give me a final word on this before we move on.
Well, Jay, the final word on that is I've never seen a case where a judge is sternly lecturing both the defense attorney, which happened quite a bit last week, and also yesterday, but also the prosecutor. So you have a judge who is basically scolding both sides, which you never see a judge scold anyone in court.
That's really what it is. He's frustrated. Rob DePiro, the East End Report. So let's go to another big piece of news, sir.
Well, you have the Shinnecock situation. You had the suspect who was arrested days later.
Michael Gaines, yeah.
Michael Gaines from Goldsboro, North Carolina, which you did touch on that before. It's amazing how long it takes for extradition. I mean, he was arrested, what, like in August, am I right? Like around August 20th, and here we are December 6th. So he finally gets brought to New York, is being held on the Suffolk County Jail. He was charged, with breaking into a vehicle as well. He stands charged with the murder of Matundo Vanterpool, who lived on the Shinnecock Indian Reservation at the time. Vanterpool was not a member of the nation. So that situation now comes to a close. Of course, you're going to have the court proceeding.
Yep, no question. Let's go to this Christopher Borsky situation. This is a guy who fled after striking a 72-year-old man. Thank goodness they got him. He was arrested. Hit and run it was of this individual out of Riverhead. But the investigation proved well, and Borsky is in custody right now.
I think it was almost shocking, according to police accounts, if they are correct, that they were led to Borsky when Borsky decided to repair the damage of his car at an auto body shop. Now, we've heard before where people have gone to Queens. Something happens, they say, out in the East End. You know, if they want to try to get away with it, they go to an auto body shop in Queens. It's going to be very difficult to track you, even though they track you there. This, according to accounts, Borsky went to a Riverhead auto body shop, and police found the mirror. They found the mirror from the car. So all he had to do is pretty much drive, 1.5 miles to solve this case. I cannot believe Borsky, if what is being stated is true, went to an auto body shop 3 minutes away.
Desperate measures, that's what happened there. Yeah, desperate times, and that's what happened. So it's a good job by that investigation. You know, we speak of mistrials. You had one that was declared of a case involving an alleged Bloods gang member, right? Lawrence Lewis's name. Revelation, I guess his defense attorney tampered with a witness. We're going back, I believe, to 2017 involving a killing outside of Deer Park Club, correct?
Correct. Now, this really isn't a mistrial that has anything to do with that the prosecution did. This is a mistrial because of what the defense did. And Lawrence Lewis's attorney, who is Christopher Cassar of Huntington, apparently sent a text message, and this is almost incredible, it's hard to believe, he sent a text message to a prosecution witness who was about to give testimony at that trial, and what it was a New York Post article who had accidentally shot himself in the groin. Now, the defense in the case did advance a theory that the victim, whose name was John Burt, who was shot outside a Deer Park Gentlemen's Club, accidentally shot himself. But how you have a defense attorney sending a text message to a witness for the prosecution, that's absurd.
Indeed. Robert, well done. We'll keep a focus on things in the next couple of days, a very important day, without a question, of what will occur as that courtroom is concerned. But certainly something to keep in mind. Rob's report sponsored. Good to have him back in the fold. Cliff's Elbow Room. Check out Cliff's, ladies and gentlemen, and all of the tremendous specials happening all within. You got to check out Cliff's. It is something to certainly take into account. The steakhouse sandwich, you name it, the filet, the porterhouse, the New York shell steak, you got to have. Savory Steaks Beyond, and the great Cliff's Elbow Room, May Road in Jamesport. Rob DePiro, the East End Report. Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jim.